For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. When I saw what the gospel reading was this morning, I groaned. John 3:16, the most well-known, the most used and abused verse in the Bible. Great, just great. When I told my husband Bill my lectionary assignment and I said I needed a story, he instantly said, "Here's one. Do you remember the Rainbow Man?" The blank look on my face indicated that I did not. He explained that back in the early 70s and throughout the 80s, a man wearing an Afro-styled, rainbow-striped wig was a one-man sideshow at major televised events, particularly athletic events, around the world. In addition to sporting his eye-catching headgear, he either held a sign or wore a T-shirt that read simply, John 3:16. Once Bill mentioned this fellow, I had a vague recollection, and so I did what all inquiring minds do these days. I Googled Rainbow Man. What I discovered was the bizarre and tragic story of a man born Roland Stewart, a four times divorced drifter and drug user, a child of alcoholic parents who has been incarcerated in a California prison for the last 22 years. On a local note, he married his forthright wife, Margaret, in 1985 here in St. Louis while on a cross-country trek and while wearing a T-shirt emblazoned with "Jesus is coming." But the marriage was short. Margaret filed for divorce, alleging Roland tried to choke her at the 1986 World Series in New York City's Shea Stadium for standing in the wrong spot with her John 3:16 placard. Following their 1990 divorce, Roland's deterioration escalated and culminated with his arrest 2 years later. An article in People magazine on September 22, 1992, recounts how Stewart, claiming to be driven by apocalyptic visions, took a maid hostage at the Hyatt Hotel near LAX after nailing shut the door of his room. He told police that he wanted airtime for his aforementioned "Jesus is coming, apocalypse now" message. During an 8-hour standoff, Stewart, who was armed with a .45, threw a stink bomb at the police. He was finally subdued when a SWAT team blasted through the door with an explosive device. Upon hearing the story of Rockin' Roland, as he was also known, some of us may be immediately and understandably tempted to distance ourselves from Roland Stewart and his type of Christianity. His form of evangelism seems, well, unseemly. His Christianity may appear as somehow not really Christian, or at best as superficial. But do any of us know what he believes? What is in his heart, his mind, or his soul? No. All we really initially know about him is this. He was willing to testify to the world the gospel truth of John 3:16. And what is that truth? That truth is God's infinite, self-giving love for us, God's creation. God gave us the ultimate gift, his Son, himself, so we can be with, so we can live with God forever. God wants union with us. And what do we have to give him in return? Belief. We are to believe in Jesus. We are to believe that Jesus is God's Son and our Savior. This straightforward request has given rise to centuries of theological debate regarding faith in works, belief, and actions. We hear from Paul on this topic in this morning's epistle, but I'm not going to wander into this quintessentially Christian quagmire. I will simply state this truth. Nothing we can do or say will either earn or lose God's love for us. God already and always loves us, and in Jesus, God has already redeemed and forgiven us. We can reject God's love, but we cannot make it go away. As Meister Eckhart, a medieval German Dominican monk, mystic, and theologian, said, God is always at home in us. It is we who go out for a walk. It is we, God's willful yet still beloved children, who rebel, who stray, even or most often with the best of intentions. Which brings us back to Mr. Rainbow. On the plus side, as noted, the positive fruit of Roland's professed faith is that he bore witness to the good news of God in Jesus Christ in the most public and far-reaching manner possible for him. I imagine that there were plenty of people who did not know what John 3:16 said, who were intrigued enough to find out. I hope so, and I hope lives were changed. Sadly, it seems that Roland's was not, that he got the words, but not their substance. When Stewart first started popping up on TV in 1977, he wore only the wig and a tie-dyed T-shirt. His purpose was self-promotion. He wanted to be an actor. But while channel surfing in his hotel room after the 1980 Super Bowl, he came upon a televangelist, Charles Taylor, on a show called Today in Bible Prophecy, at which point he says he was born again. As Stewart recalled, I walked out of the Super Bowl feeling sad. It was the shallowness. I was being seen all over the world, but never as myself. Curious remark that. Mr. Stewart's conversion experience occurred for the right reason. He noticed the shallowness of his existence and was searching for something deeper, something with greater meaning and purpose. At just the right moment, a moment when he was open to receiving God's grace, he was introduced to Jesus. So far, so good. But his next utterance in the interview indicates what went awry. The reason he felt sad was because although he was being seen all over the world, it was not as who or what he perceived himself to be, or maybe even wanted to be, whatever that might have been. It was all about him. Based on his subsequent actions, Mr. Stewart seems to have discovered none of the gospel virtues like humility and compassion, but rather a handy tool for greater self-glorification and promotion. His unique admixture of motives and methods led him to use the good news to garner more attention in the name of Jesus, not for God, but for himself. His story highlights what can happen when we do the right thing for the wrong reason, when we confuse the message and the messenger, when we forget that it is Jesus who saves, not us. Another aspect of being a Christian that this highlights is that as messengers ourselves, as disciples of Jesus, we have a responsibility to the message. Our behavior does affect how and even if the message is received. And so our actions, our works, do matter. Attempting to choke your spouse is not exactly walking the walk, and talking the talk of John 13 while doing so only adds fuel to the anti-God and anti-Christian flames prevalent in contemporary life. The Rainbow Man is an extreme example, but his remarks underscore several tripwires we all face. Above all, Christianity is about God and God's saving action in the world. In our culture, it's very easy to forget that our faith is not about us, except as we respond to what God has done for us. We speak of rebirth from above and salvation and redemption, and all of this is true and necessary, even if certain expressions of it make us uncomfortable. Everything about our lives is divine gift, period. We all can and do stray, even if we don't make a screaming left turn. As the Rainbow Man demonstrates, doing the right thing for the wrong reason can lead to the right thing becoming catastrophically wrong. Rainbow Man's works also illustrate what can happen when we try to go solo as Christians, when we aren't connected to a community of fellow believers with whom we have a relationship of mutuality and accountability, when we don't consider how our actions, how our works might affect another or the entire body, When we don't try to dig deeply beneath the skin of our faith, to get our arms around the flesh and blood and bones of Jesus through his own words and actions, we are not following Jesus' way and God's will, but our own. Rainbow Man appears to have latched onto Jesus' message of love, but not onto the embodiment of that love, to the person of Jesus. Without knowing Jesus, we can't follow him. Cultivating any relationship takes time and effort, and our relationship with Jesus is no exception. People make fun of the saying, "What would Jesus do?" But I honestly don't think that is a bad lens through which to examine our choices and behaviors. When applied to the actions that landed Roland Stewart in jail, it is clear that Jesus would not have kidnapped anyone or assaulted his wife or hurled stink bombs. And by the way, in addition to launching said bombs at the police, Roland also targeted the Crystal Cathedral, the Trinity Broadcasting Network, and a Christian bookstore, all of which, in their own ways, were trying to witness to the gospel of Jesus. We're trying to be blessed to be a blessing. Again, Mr. Stewart may be an extreme example, but it is all too easy to subtly succumb to a superiority complex, to be prideful about what we profess and how we profess it. Martin Luther called John 3:16 the gospel in miniature, and I would agree. In fact, when Father Archie and I had our first telephone conversation, he asked me what I thought the gospel of Jesus Christ was, and in essence, I paraphrased this verse. Did this mean that I intended to don a rainbow wig, attend every Cardinals game, seek out any and all cameras, hold a sign, dance wildly, and try to throttle Bill if he did not do as he was told? If I had, I doubt I would have been offered a job at St. Michael and St. George or anywhere else. Behaviors such as those of the Rainbow Man can make us wary of proclaiming the gospel and our personal faith publicly. But the danger is that we cede Christianity to the squeaky wheels, saying that we are not like those people. And in doing so, we are the ones who are not doing as Jesus would do. The Jesus alternative is not to condemn or throw up one's hands in despair and leave, but to participate, to invite and convert, to woo others, showing a still more excellent way. As Christ believers, as Jesus followers, we are to let the light of God's love shine through us. Believing, we are to follow by doing justice and loving kindness and walking humbly with our God. If we truly accept these as words to live by and act accordingly, placards, t-shirts, and the like are redundant. We ourselves become bait on God's hook. Or as C.S. Lewis put it, attractive advertisements for the one in whom we believe. Amen.